You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 789 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. On today's show, we sit down with newly minted FEI three-star judge, Susanna Hamilton, to talk about her journey to the FEI system and what it truly takes to reach this prestigious level in judging. Next, we talk with Aoife Leggett about her work in high-performance coaching and breathwork. Aoife breaks down how riders can manage pressure, regulate their nervous system, and improve performance in and out of the show ring.
Welcome to the Dressage Radio Show.
This is Reese Koppler-Stanfield in Wellington, Florida.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Murrieta, California, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show. Hey, Reese.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I'm crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. And I do not have whatever plague I had last time. Remember last show?
Oh,
you had to read. Oh, I got awful. So sick. Oh, my goodness. My husband, which was very sweet, came to visit. We had a great week, but he did leave me with some sort of plague. I was like, you need to take this plague and go home. Ooh, buddy, I was sick. Oof. It was bad.
Yeah,
I'm better now. You can still hear it in my voice. I mean, I'm still not 100%, but oof, I'm like 90. I was like 20 for a long time. It was bad. Better.
Yeah.
How was California?
I'm crazy packing. I'm still trying to take my lessons, but I leave in a few days. So it's like, and I'm still running my business in Wisconsin. I'm here with you, which I'm so grateful for, but it's just a little bit of a crazy time. And then I'm thinking about April, and then I'm thinking about May and show season and World Cup. I mean, we have so many exciting things that I don't want to be ungrateful. Well, but I'm like, whoa.
That is such a good thing because everybody, we are going to have a meet up at World Cup. This is a tradition. This is Megan's first World Cup, her first media adventure, and her first meetup. So super excited about that. So it will be on Thursday sometime either before or after the Grand Prix. We will make sure it's on our pages and you will know where to meet us. If you want to come and chat with us at World Cup, that's going to be so fun. However, I'm only there Grand Prix day. I fly in Wednesday and I fly out Friday morning because I will then be able to have another meetup at Equine Affair on the weekend. So yeah, Megan and I are a bit crazy, but you know, on some level, Megan, we have to like this because we did these schedules. So I'm playing back. And Ashley and the Horse Radio Network crew will already be at Equine Affair. And we can't wait to meet Ashley. She's our editor and also I think it's technically our boss at the Horse Radio Network, and we've never met in person. So it should be really fun. So shout out to everybody that's going to be there, and it's going to be a real fun couple days. And I'm also coming back. You and I both kind of go back around the same time. So yeah, it's crazy.
Are you packing? Are you ready?
You know, I'm probably like you. We've done this enough that I start packing. Yeah, I do start packing pretty early. And I'm moving farms too. I've been able to, which has been great. I've been at the same farm for 3 years, but I'm moving, which is a good thing for everybody. The girls here at the farm are growing up and they're ready to take their farm back, which is, we knew would happen. It's very exciting. And so I'm moving farms, which is actually, thank goodness, in the same neighborhood. But we all know, I mean, it's still like loading everything and you're like, oh, that wheelbarrow isn't heavy until you are lifting it. And you're like, whoa. So I'm kind of the same way. And I'm going home a little bit early because my friend who can drive, that's when he can do it. But also, I really wanted to be home for Easter. I was gone for Christmas, so I figured I would hit a holiday. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm like you, like pretty much hit the ground running in Kentucky too. So really looking forward to the spring. I mean, I think it's everyone's starting to ride up north, which is so fun. So I think it's all very good. So I'm excited about it.
I'm super excited to get home and get.
And you're taking a horse home, so you're not going to have quite the same journey on the way home.
No, it's not going to be as fun. and I just want to get home. I want to see all my people, all my horses, and get my house in order, and then take off running. I've missed them. It's so nice to leave and go, wow, I really appreciate all my people in my life, all the horses. Yeah. And I've missed you, and I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I know, and that's the best. I mean, I think we both feel the same way. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's so great, and in season is so wonderful, and there's so much that goes on. But yeah, I think you get to the point where you're like, yeah, okay, I'm ready to kind of sleep in my own bed, and yeah, same. We had the last global, so this was a really fun weekend, and we have to shout out to Jordan LaPaca. Because
Hello.
I mean, we are so proud of him. I mean, it's been amazing. Jordan LaPlaca won the Grand Prix Special and was a gold medalist. And the U.S. won the Nations Cup, which they hadn't done in like 5 years.
And we have known him before all of this.
Yes, we knew him before. We knew him before, which was so exciting. And it was just a fun weekend. It is the last weekend at Global. So,
wow. That's a turning a page, a new chapter.
It's turning a new page for all of us. Global, that facility will no longer be next year. They're moving us to the other, not quite the other side of the street, but to the back of where the jumpers are. So it's a new location, which will be interesting. It's always interesting when you have a new location. So that'll be fun. So it should be a really interesting year next year when we get to the new, what will be not Global, but the new dressage venue. So I know there, I've seen it. I've been over kind of to the jumper land to coach some jumpers over there. So I kind of like got a sneak peek of what they were doing. So pretty exciting.
Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, but shout out to Jordan. We're so proud of him. He came on the show, everybody, if you can remember, a few months ago, actually the beginning of Florida season. And so I told him, I was like, we need to have you back on. So we will get him back on. I literally saw him yesterday at a restaurant where I went to go watch the basketball game. And he, not going to lie, I bought him a drink. I was like, oh, I'm buying his wife, Caitlin, who's precious as well. She is his head groom and manager and everything. And it was just so fun to see them. And we were all kind of hiding from Wellington at this bar. Like, you go to this bar not because you want to see a lot of Wellington people. And so I was watching the March Madness. As everybody knows, one of my hobbies is basketball. I love it. We're not going to talk about our game. But it was fun to get off the farm and watch some basketball for sure. So yeah, no, but I think we have an amazing show. I think it's just going to be awe-inspiring. We're both jazzed and excited from the interviews. We've already done them. So we're going to have a commercial break from Kentucky Performance Products. We can't wait to talk to you guys from our actual homes next time in April and see you guys also at the meetups.
Are runny poop and dirty butt challenges for your horse? Does diarrhea have you both down? Does he struggle with bouts of colic or other digestive tract issues? Or his digestive distress due to lifestyle changes or travel or illness, injury, or antibiotic use? Probiotic Wise is your supplement of choice when a balanced hindgut is your goal. Available in powder or paste, Probiotic Wise is a concentrated source of both prebiotics and probiotics that capture and sweep out pathogenic bacteria, support healing and maintain healthy gut tissue, and sustain a robust microbiome. To see if Probiotic Wise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet, visit kppusa.com, or call 859-873-2974.
Well, tonight, it is such an honor to have FEI's newest 3-star judge, a friend of mine, international rider and trainer, parrot trainer. She's amazing. Everyone, welcome Suzanne Hamilton.
Hi. Hi. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great.
You've gotten some sleep?
I have. I've been really, really sick, and so now that I'm coming out of the sick hole, I'm feeling like amazing. So good to be alive.
I love it. Well, you're sick probably from all the stress, but also traveling to Italy for your three.
I probably got sick just the three. Probably caught that 3 days before when I was at this CODA event that, you know, I was riding in, And there was lots and lots of people because like exactly 3 days later, I'm on the plane getting sick on my way to Italy with the influenza B. Just not a lot of fun.
No.
So 6 days of fevers and chills. And then you come out on the other end and going, oh my God, I made it. It's crazy.
It's crazy. So tell us. So, I mean, you've been on this judging path for years. So kind of explain to everybody a little bit about the path that you've taken and why it's, I mean, it's no joke to get a 3-star. It's no joke. So kind of explain to everybody the pattern.
So the whole judging path starts, you know, with your national judging license. First, you do the learners program, the L, and then you go through the national stages of small R, large R, S. When you're an S, you're actually a national Grand Prix judge. You can judge in all the Americas and through all the levels, which is in itself, like that was really always the goal.
Yes.
And somehow there's some AAA personalities that just need more. And they just can't stop learning and educating themselves. I went together with my friend Cindy Rose Wiley, who's also passed the 3-star. We are right now currently the only 2 3-stars in the U.S.
Awesome.
Judges. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, you know, the stars, they're now levels, but it's kind of easier to explain with stars. Stars go from 1 to 5. 1 being small tour, 2 being medium tour. 3-star is the first level of judging international Grand Prix. And then you have the 4-stars, which is really the next step that gets you kind of everywhere. And then, of course, 5-star is the handful of people in this world that have judged or will judge the Olympics. So that is like... those are the gods of judging, and we all aspire to be them. And it takes a sort of a crazy need to just never have enough, and to how to explain that, to just kind of feel the need to have 4 other judges that are your seniors, perhaps, or you know, or equal or seniors or whatever is in the judges' booths at that time to at the end of the show say, what were you thinking there? What were you seeing? Because I was seeing this and, you know, and throwing it together and picking it apart and making it where you sometimes say, well, I really saw blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh yeah, I can see, I couldn't see that from where I was sitting, or, you know, the rest of us saw it like that, but I think you were a little harsh, or you were a little friendly, or here's how we would do that. And it's just a personal journey, actually. Yeah. It goes international. I am now allowed to judge Grand Prix at any show that has a 3-star competition in the world. And it may get, you know, already like booked some
Are you
stuff,
really?
Which, yeah, yes. It's really cool.
Oh, that's
like,
so cool.
I'm going to judge something in Florida in May, and then in Mexico. I'm going to Mexico City, and possibly France. It just got called about that. So it's really like exciting, you know?
And really, this is the part where you really travel around the world. I mean, that's when it starts, right? And that's incredible. Yeah. You get to see riders all over the world. I mean, that's really got to be a cool feeling.
It's a really cool feeling. It's a massive pay cut.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like that is actually something that's interesting about judging, right? This is all self-funded. That's what's incredible. Yeah. And you've been, because I've seen you at Global, you've been sitting and you've, how much apprentice time did you have to do for this?
So you have regulated time of, something that's called shadow judging. That's a pass fail where, and Global's been, Thomas Bauer has been incredibly helpful to us, where they set up a whole equestrian hub portal for us. And so each judge has their portal, and then there's a 6th portal, and we judge on our own. And later with our mentor judge, we'll go through all the scores and all the comments and everything that's been said, to see that they see where we're at. And this is kind of a pass fail. We had to do two of those. We had to do a specific amount of sitting, but I did way more. I traveled all over the world to go sit with people because I, you know, for me, it's important to experience what's here, but also experience, you know, Europe, where sometimes just in terms of quality, it is another step that we don't always get to see here. We were lucky this year. We got Isabel Wirth coming this year, which was pretty awesome. And,
yes, it's great.
But it's so nice to go and see the nines and the tens that you don't see so often, you know.
Yeah.
And for that, you have to go places. And again, it's like just a personal journey, you know, where you say, I'm just not yet, I haven't arrived. I'm not yet tired of learning more. Of course, the testing itself, you know, these testers, they were amazing. It was Katrina Wüst, who's the queen of freestyles. It's like, and Hans Christian Mathiesen from Denmark. These are people I admire greatly. And they were the testers, and they made it so, they were so welcoming, you know, so friendly. They set us up in a system where, you know, we could really get in the swing of things, and is so appreciated. But, you know, it's still a testing, and then when you're running a fever, it's especially not so fun. But like, they set us up with these videos to judge all of us. There were 15 in a group. I want to say there was 5 people that went for 3-star and 10 people that went for 4-star. It might have been 6 and 9. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And they were all, it was a really strong group, but we got to get in the swing of things. And then we had our written test, and that was the thing that scared me for months. I've been waking up, getting up. Just, I tell you, I'm sleeping. My best time to sleep is between 4 and 7 in the morning. I had to get up every morning at 4:30 for the last 4 months so that I could put an hour and a half of study time in before sitting on my first horse at 7:15. And it's been a long.
Yeah. And you brought like 2,000 horses to Florida. I mean, you have been so busy.
It's,
you
13, brought, like, but
yeah,
it's,
you had 13. Yeah, it's like 2,000 basically. Like,
yeah,
that's,
it's
amazing.
Like 2,000. It's an 18-hour job, you know, a day. And then, but I really, really wanted to take that time and just inhale a little bit of rules and knowledge every day so that it might sit deep enough. So lo and behold, I get the influenza B, and I could actually answer all the essay questions, 4-page essays, because I had actually really, I had them in my brain. So that was phew. And then the next day, that was the exciting part. We got to judge 24 Grand Prix.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. And that's the part I was really most looking forward to. You know, you fret a little bit, you say, God, who's there? I don't really know anybody. And then you go, okay, take a step back, take a deep breath, and just judge what you see. And go with that and trust yourself and know that you've worked hard. You've been there. You've been through a rigorous program all these years in the US, getting to my S. We know what we're seeing, know what we're looking at. If we clamp up and try to do something that we want or wish or think it should be, it's going to mess up. So you have to just follow your gut instinct and just go with that. And it turned out really well. You know, my first horses were their first horses and the last horses theirs. And then there was this space in the middle, and, you know, things were a little tight there, but they just were, you know, when you have 17 people between 60 and 70, and, you know, it's just a little tight, but it was great. It went great. And then on the third day, which is maybe the part that we're all the most nervous about, we have, a verbal testing where each one of us has some time with the testers where they may show us some videos, ask questions, maybe some rule questions, maybe something they thought during the weekend where you've had a little bit of a weakness that they want to reiterate on. And so, and it was amazing because my entire group passed. I don't know if that's ever happened before. It was really cool.
Cool.
That's awesome. And yeah, and then I went home and then I was sick for another day. And then Tuesday morning, suddenly all the curtains lifted and I woke up and said, oh my God, I'm a 3-star. This is crazy. So
it's amazing. Oh, yeah. I got shivers for you. That's so cool.
I'm so cool.
And what surprised you the most about this process of moving up to a 3-star FEI judge?
So I don't know if I say surprised, but I am really enjoying the camaraderie between everybody who is doing this thing has got to be AAA personality. Okay.
Yes. They all. Oh, you'd have to be. Yeah.
They all, like, we're sitting at dinner and all we're discussing is numbers and what we saw. And it's just like, oh my God. And, you know, and who saw this and did they see that? And then, you know, how they scored it and how they came to that. And, it, you know, it, I sometimes think, you know, like they have this app, Spectator Judging, which is, it's surprisingly accurate often, you know?
Really?
But it's like, but I think it gives people a false sense of how they arrive there. Numbers are numbers, but if you dissect everything, then you arrive at these numbers a little bit differently. And yeah. It's very, very important to put purpose, meaning, word, rules, and everything else into these numbers, you know, and mm-hmm. not just to look at, so that's sort of okay-ish. It's got to be a 7. No, that's not good enough. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so many reasons to arrive at that 7. You have to put it into words. And the camaraderie has just been, these are all like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that part about it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Megan, but I was just going to say, I think it's so, I don't think people really recognize how much training goes into the amount of judging and the time and energy. And you guys really do care so much about the scores. And so,
so much,
you know, yeah, I know. I've seen you guys just talk about over and over just a Piaf score or, you know, and it's, and I so am in awe because that's not, I have much more of a trainer mindset than a judge's. Like, judging is so difficult. And, but I have to ask, so I'm just curious, not that you want to hear this question, but like, how do you go to 4-star? You stay at 3-star at a certain level?
So let me haul out before I answer the question, because like you said, we care, yes. But we don't just care about the numbers. We care.
Yeah.
Really about the riders. We want mm-hmm. to give benefit of the yes. doubt. Sometimes we want to make a point. We care above all. There's so much discussion about the welfare of the horse mm-hmm. and everything that leads up to a horse looking uncomfortable or stressed or unhappy. And these are so many things to take in consideration. And we take this very, very serious. Also, there's much discussion about judges' bias, you know, like mm-hmm.
Yes.
That no one wants to be biased on purpose, but we say, you know, let's be aware that when it's our own countrymen, let's be aware about judging someone that we've seen go before that had maybe lots of mistakes. We don't want mm-hmm. them to come in and have our attitude directly go, well, these are the people that make a lot of mistakes. That can't happen, you know, yeah. Someone that's a big name, you know, let's not mm-hmm. give big numbers because someone comes in with a big name. Really look objectively and stick to that, you know, really, really stick to that. And no one wants to be biased, but we all have Hans Christian is very big on, you know, he's written a lot of articles about it. And it's so good to become aware of the possibilities and how to handle yourself that doesn't actually happen. as to four-star, I think that everybody that's a three-star needs to eventually go for four-star because they have actual rules about it now. You can only get three-star for so long without actually then not having your jobs really, I don't know, if count towards it. I'm not 100% sure how to word that. It's something to do with, like, they want you to, after 3-4 years of being a three-star, your invitations are going to go down a little bit to places.
Got it. They people, want you to move up.
People want to be in a safe place. We have, I want to say, maybe 5 or 6 4-stars in this country and 2 5-stars.
That's about right. Yeah.
Janet Hoy and Mike Osinski, they are the U.S. gods. And we have some very good 4-stars. I think that that would be the goal eventually.
Yeah. Awesome.
You really need yay many CDIs to have judged, yay many people you've judged, and just, you know, making sure you get strong in your philosophy and, you know, confident within yourself. And then there's a whole other testing. You don't go for any 5-star. You eventually, whoever it is, I have absolutely no ambitions there. You know, whoever one day, if one in one of our countries, 5-star, were to retire, someone would appoint someone else for a position, that's not something you go for. You essentially go for 4-star. Every CDI in a Western Europe has to have at least 1 3-star present at a 3-star event. And as you know, there's CDI 3-stars, 4-stars, 5-stars, and that dictates to what kind of jury you're going to need on the panel. So
I love this so much. Girl, we promised we would get you at a certain time.
Thank
so we're
you.
Gonna have to let you go. We could keep you on all night. This is so fascinating. But how can our listeners follow you, find you online if they want to have any more questions about judging or just follow you?
I've been very bad about my social media. I have a student that does my Instagram. I don't even know how to work it. And I'm on Facebook. You know, I have a Suzanne Hamilton dressage. I don't post a lot about the judging because I do more about my students, my competitions, my students' competitions, the training horses. Again, this judging journey is my personal journey. It's my
amazing.
It's my place where I go inward and then just float. And it's really been very fun. And that's what
we're honored and so proud to have you. Thank you so much for your time tonight. This has been so fun, girl. We're having you back on. So we need to do more. We can keep you on another hour. So have a great night. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for letting me off the hook. And it's so great to see you both.
Are you serious about dressage? The all-new Dressage Today Plus membership gets you unlimited access to training videos, expert VIP seminars, and premium articles from top trainers and judges. Learn anytime, anywhere. Dressage Today Plus, where dressage riders train. Join today at dressagetoday.com and use code DT10 to get 10% off of your annual membership.
Well, tonight we have such an honor to have from Ireland, Aoife Leggett. She is a breathwork coach, a master in breathwork coach, an accredited life coach, high performance coach. She's got to tell you all her accreditations because they are amazing. Aoife, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
I want you to tell us more about your education because it's incredible. I'm like reading it. I'm like, oh my God, she is so cool. So tell us more about yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I suppose it took me a while to get here. I think I was stabbing around in the dark for a while, looking at, you know, what I want to do and, you know, exactly where my kind of purpose and sweet spot was. So I came from working in the horses full time, more in the kind of eventing and show jumping space. And I kind of got to the point there where I sort of was like, this isn't really for me anymore. I've learned so much, but there's no more growth left here. And I don't see myself in this role down the road. So I kind of moved to a more corporate job. And then I find it, I had that same kind of feeling like something's missing, something's not aligned here. So that was when I actually myself reached out to a coach that a friend of mine recommended and had a few sessions with her. And from working with her, I kind of started to sort of plot my way into kind of a role that I didn't really know existed or that I didn't know what it looked like yet. But that kind of started with training to be a PT, which I don't really use anymore, but I'm delighted that I did train as that. Mm-hmm. I did train in nutrition coaching. And then my kind of main one was then life coaching, studying sport and performance psychology, and then the breath work, which are kind of the three main ones that I rely on now with the clients that I work with. So the breath work coaching, I just finished up my fifth level. So I'm a master breath work teacher last year, which has been an amazing journey, I suppose, of self kind of discovery and learning to use the tools myself and then pass them on to the people that I work with, which is mostly riders, which anytime I meet any skeptics, I'm like, have you ever ridden a horse that's holding their breath? And I'm like, they're like, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and what do you want them to do? They're like, exhale and relax. I'm like, yes, that's what we're going to do for you as well.
Oh, I love this.
Can you share a little bit about, I mean, I don't want to divulge all your secrets, but can you share a little bit about it and why it's so important? And do we really affect the horse if we don't breathe?
Yeah, definitely. I'll share. Yeah. And I mean, I'm very open. I have lots of free things on my Instagram and on my website. So I like to give people loads of information. And then if they want to work with me from that, that's a bonus. But I try and give things that I wish I had when I was riding and I was, you know, in the collecting ring feeling like I wanted to get sick because I was just worried about who was watching the show gym in class. So yeah, I suppose the breath work is a really effective way for us to change our nervous system from feeling like, you know, we're in that fight or flight stage or just, you know, that tension that you feel as a rider when you're worried about mistakes that might happen or might not, or the people that are watching, or things that the horse might do. You know, you create that tension from your thoughts within your body, and then that channels through to the horses, you know. So being able to regulate our nervous system and soften the body and control, you know, our breathing, and then in a sense our thoughts as well, it really helps you know, improve the riding that we do, whether that's, you know, trying to be a bit softer, a bit more in that flow state, or just be less tense around the horses in general. If you're riding a young horse, obviously you want to be, you know, wary, but you don't want to have extra tension that's making them feel on edge as well. So the breathwork techniques that I teach are, you know, they're simple yet profound, you know, and like I had a new client literally today, and we did a very simple one, and the first thing I get them to do is just like notice their breathing and then try to soften through using the breath, and they always say, I didn't realize I was actually so tense in my jaw or my shoulders, or you know, my chest was so tense. And it's that ability to then, you know, take stock a few times a day and be like, okay, I've had a really busy morning, maybe I've driven to the show, can I just take a little pause for a minute and just leave the morning behind and arrive and get up on the horse without taking that kind of chaotic energy or nerves with me?
Yeah, I think that's, Megan and I both do a lot of coaching, and I think that mm-hmm. this is something, you know, I can even feel myself holding my breath watching them, like, you know, but yeah. You know, you're like, oh my gosh. But I think even like you said, just are you actually breathing? So many people, and I'm there, hold their breath or they breathe shallowly. And I didn't realize also what a big difference it means when you aren't doing that. So I think that's pretty cool to have some strategies on how to handle that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I remember when I was riding, my mom used to always be like, take a deep breath. And I used to be like, I don't know what you mean. I do not know how to do that. Or like, you know, helping a friend of mine, she was riding a young horse and she was like doing the studs and she had like her back protector on and she was like whizzing around. And I was like, do you want to just like inhale and exhale slowly there for a sec? She's like, oh my gosh, yes, I was about to pass out. So yeah, even that simple awareness or just, you know, learning to take those deep breaths when you do get a little stressed or tense can make a difference. And that's just scratching the surface really, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I love that.
What separates high performance riders mentally from everyone else? Like, why do they know how to breathe? Or are they just normal like the rest of us?
Yeah, they're just normal like the rest of you. I mean, the riders that come to me, they vary, you know, some of them are really at the top of their sport. Some of them are more in the amateur space. And they have, you know, similar struggles, just at different levels, you know. Lack of confidence because of a scenario that's gone wrong or a fall or just a knock in themselves, you know, self-belief, feeling overwhelmed. They're all problems that they all face. The high performance riders just, you know, do it professionally and maybe have extra talent, extra hard work, better horses behind them, better backing, or have chosen to take that route versus, you know, the amateurs are kind of doing it more for fun. But often both types of clients have like too much pressure on themselves in terms of feeling like they can't make a mistake and they have to perform and everything has to be now. And like a lot of the time that excess pressure isn't helpful. You know, people want to do well. It's not like they're going to, you know, switch that off and then suddenly not care about anything, but it's learning how to keep the dial at a place where, you know, it's helping, not hindering, you know, and they don't feel smothered by their own pressure.
Yeah, that makes sense. And talk to us a little bit. I mean, I really haven't talked to a lot of life coaching. So what does that mean? Tell us more about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, when I started doing it, I was like, I don't really know what this is. Like, it sounds a bit weird. I was like, I don't really want to tell anyone that I was going to like a life coach. And she was helping me with my career. But I suppose for me, I found it really empowering. And I think clients that I work with do as well. It's all about, you know, creating that life that you want, taking actions, overcoming challenges. And I suppose the way I describe it to people often are like, you know, is it therapy? Are you going to tell me what to do? Is it counseling? And the difference is like, we're not stuck in the past, looking in the rearview mirror, talking through emotions and feelings and scenarios. Well, sometimes we'll touch on them because they relate to the things that we're working on. The aim with coaching and, you know, life coaching in that sense is always to be forward focused, action based. What can I do to create that life? How can I overcome this challenge, you know? And it's always client led and non-directive. So what I will say to my clients is like, you know your life better than anybody else. You know the relationships you're in, you know the horses that you ride, you know your business. I'm here to help you by asking you powerful questions, giving you space and time to figure out what are the options are for you. Well, usually, first of all, actually, what do you want? You know, and then where is your reality now? And then what are the different options that you have? And oftentimes it's just allowing people that space and time to go through that and then say, okay, what do you think is the best option, is the best first small step? Because sometimes, you know, either challenges or goals feel so big that people are just like, I just can't do anything. I'm almost paralyzed or stuck that I just feel like I can't. And sometimes it's just helping them take one small step in the right direction in terms of either rebuilding their confidence or setting them off on a road to, you know, make it onto an Olympic team. So, it varies person to person, but yeah, forward focused, client led, action based, and it's really empowering in that sense because they're doing all of the work in some way. I'm just helping them figure out what's the best for them. So yeah, and it applies to anything in terms of horses, business, career. Yeah,
that's truly amazing. What is a myth about mindset or breath work that you would love to change to our listeners?
A myth. I think like a lot of people would be like, you know, you're either born positive or you either have that outlook and that's just it, you know? So like I know from personal experience, I remember when I was in a role where I felt probably like, you know, at the end of the road there, I got a little bit sour in terms of, you know, I remember being like, am I somebody that I would want to work with? Probably not. You know, I was a little bit tetchy, probably a little bit defensive. And I was like, I don't want to be this person anymore. I want to be somebody that people are like, yeah, love working with her. She's really passionate. She has, you know, lots of energy. And through kind of coaching and also my own journey of like self-discovery, I suppose I was able to get to a place now where people would describe me as a positive person that they like to chat to. And I've seen the same with clients. You know, you get stuck in sort of a fixed mindset where it feels like any feedback is criticism. Like, you know, there's mistakes aren't allowed because they mean that you fail, when actually the reality is, you know, you can change your outlook. And I suppose mindset, I always describe it to people as like a pair of glasses that you put on. You can change the lens on your glasses. It might take a little bit of work. You know, sometimes those negative patterns in terms of thoughts or self-talk take years to kind of be ingrained. We have to try and reverse that and go the other way. It's a bit like changing something in your riding. Maybe you've got a bad habit that you need to change at the beginning. It feels kind of a little bit awkward, but in the end, it's usually worth the kind of dedication and the hard work.
I love that. And you also said you are a nutritionist and work with nutrition, right?
So I'm a performance nutritionist. Yeah, nutritional advisor. So that's kind of something that I did at the start. And what I do now is, when I work with people in terms of a coaching program, I work with people for like a minimum of 3 months, usually longer. And that's kind of part of the package if they want to have a session where they talk about their nutrition and I can send them some information that is helpful. But, you know, I, like I said, was an event rider. And I know that feeling of being like feeling sick from the morning because you're nervous all day. And then suddenly you gallop across a field, you know, at maybe 4 p.m. in the day, you go to take a pull and you're like, oh my God, my body is empty. Like, my nervous system has been bubbling over since 8 a.m. this morning and I haven't been able to eat any food. So, you know, that can be the case whether you are an event rider, a show jumper, or you ride dressage. So I suppose, again, it's about helping people figure out what's a system that works for me. Like, how do I get some fuel in my body that doesn't make me feel sick, but allows me to have that kind of energy on those days? And then on days that, you know, I'm not riding at a show, how do I make sure that I give myself the same respect that I give my horses in terms of making sure that they are fed and watered in a way that allows them to perform well? So that's kind of what I do with the clients as well. I'd give them a little bit of insight on that and let them go away and figure out the best plan for themselves.
Well, I think it's awesome because you're kind of like a 360 approach, because I've also worked and had the, you know, privilege of working with some high performance coaches, and that's literally what they ask, like, what did you eat for breakfast? And you're like, I tried to get something down, but that was very much part of like, what can we get you to eat and be ready in that way too? And I think that literally you don't recognize it until somebody says that and you're like, oh, you mean the horse show donut wasn't like, or the Starbucks triple latte? Like, no, it's terrible for you.
Yeah, I know.
And so, but having started, because people are like, well, I can't eat. And it's like, well, you do need to find some strategies with that. So I think that that's so cool that that's part of your program. So tell us a little bit more about your program, because I'm like raising my hand. I'm like, this sounds amazing. So tell us more, like, what are all, you know, tell us more the whole comprehensive system.
Yeah. So as you said, it's kind of like a 360 approach. That's why I called my coaching business is called 360 Coaching. And I suppose with all of the qualifications that I got and the experience that I have, you know, working in the industry hands-on, like meeting loads of different riders, and then also with the kind of clients that I had worked with, I was like, right, how do I deliver the best possible service so I help these people go from feeling overwhelmed, unconfident, like they're kind of drowning, trying to spin all those plates, to a place where they're like, okay, I'm happy, healthy, and I feel like I'm firing on all cylinders here. Or even if I drop the ball, I know that I'm not going to be stuck in a rut for ages. So that's kind of where I went from to deliver my program. So like I said, I always say this to people as well. I'm like, you know, if somebody sends you their horse to ride once or twice, or somebody comes for a lesson once or twice, you can make them feel good temporarily, but for long-term growth and transformation, there needs to be some kind of commitment to that kind of process. Like I said, we have to undo old habits or loops and kind of train the mind in a different way. So most people come to me for at least 6 months, and then lots of people after that will stay on with less kind of support. But in that kind of 3 or 6 month period, we will do bi-weekly coaching sessions. So every 2 weeks, we'll have like a Zoom call, and that's kind of driven by the client in terms of, you know, their goals, their challenges, what they've had going on. We'll work through some coaching exercises if that's helpful, and then I'll give them, if we do use an exercise, some additional resources, which are nice because they're things that you can keep. And 3 years down the line, if you're feeling like you want to do that again, you can pull that out and work on that. Each month, then we'll do some form of breath work, whether that is 5 minutes or half an hour, depends on kind of where they're at. And that can include like visualization, some kind of performance preparation as well. So that's each month. I'm on hand as much as possible as well. So if they feel like they're kind of struggling, or if they want to update me, if things are going really well, it's nice for them to feel like they have that added layer of support, because, you know, we all know it can be quite an isolating sport. And sometimes talking to people in your bubble actually isn't the right thing to do. They give you advice when you just want to be listened to. They don't listen at times, you know, so that's nice as well. And then we'll do as well, like I said, that kind of performance nutrition. And then sometimes we'll work through like strategic planning in terms of their season as well. So kind of a nice comprehensive approach to that, and a good rhythm in terms of, I feel like every 2 weeks is enough time for them to go away and take action and feel like they're doing stuff off their own back, but it's not so long that they're like, who are you again? When did we last work?
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, it's so true.
So yeah. Yeah.
I love
so
that.
It works. Yeah.
Well, how can we find you online? Like, and you also have free guides, because I've been on your website and I'm signing up for those. So how do we get those as well?
Yeah. So my website is 360coaching, all written out, .ie. And then I've got like a free resources page, and they're always handy. My Instagram is at Aoife Legged Coach. I share loads of videos and tips and stuff. And then there's a link to my website, my guides on there as well. And then my email is aoife@360coaching.ie as well. So I always say to people, don't be afraid to reach out, and, you know, I'm all open to have a chat or for them to ask me questions. I always like to meet different people, and, you know, then if we get to work together, that's a bonus. But I'm lucky in terms of, you know, I take on a small enough number of clients because I work so closely with them all. Before I do take on a client, we'd have like a discovery call where we have a chat for about an hour. So we definitely know, okay, I feel like you're the right fit for my program. You feel like I'm the right fit for somebody to help you. And that means that, you know, I have really great clients that I love working with, and they all seem to love working with me as well. So it's a great job to have.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been so fun. We've really enjoyed it. Like I said, I signed up for the free coaching guides, so I can't wait to hear more about that. But thank you so much for your time. And once again, what was your website?
360coaching.ie.
Perfect. Well, have a great night. Get your jammies
Thanks,
on,
because
it's late for you. You need like,
I have them on. I have them on. And the bottom half is pajamas.
No judgment. All right, I love it. Well, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Well, Megan, we are starting a new book club book, right, for this quarter.
I'm pretty pumped. It's called Her Mama by Diana DuPont. I'm excited. I have no idea what it's about. As soon as I get home, I got to crack it open.
Me too. You and I are in the same boat. Like, I'm excited. So I hope everybody's been enjoying the book club. And yeah, we're going to keep the party rolling. So I love it. If you're not subscribed yet, do that now. Just search Dressage Radio Show on your favorite podcast player. You can join the fun and supportive community at Horse Radio Network Auditors on Patreon. You'll get behind-the-scenes insights, special offers, and opportunities to participate in Horse Radio Network podcasts. Go to patreon.com/Horse Radio Network. The Dressage Radio Show Facebook page is the Dressage Radio Show. My website, which is newly redone, please go take a look at it. Thank you, Zella, is maplecrestfarmky.com. And my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com. And my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.
And don't forget to look for Megan and I at the World Cup. We will be doing a meetup. And also at Equine Affair, I'm going to be there with Ashley from Horse Radio Network. We can't wait to see you guys.